This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series, and today I'm talking to Cameron Harrell, the founder of Backpocket CO and author of the best-selling book, Double Double. Cameron, how's it going today?
Good, Srinivas. How are you?
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with our Vistage listeners all about meetings. So let's get to the first question. Why do meetings suck?
It's funny. I think meetings suck because we actually have done a really bad job at training people on how to run them. It's interesting. With all the different CEOs that I work with, I kind of went out and asked a bunch of them, have you ever been to a shitty meeting? And pretty much every single person said, yes, they've been to bad meetings. And I said, who ran them? And they all kind of agreed that they'd run them as well. And then when I said, have you ever had any training on running meetings? They all pretty much said no, nor have they ever trained any of the people. So I think the problem is that we have to run meetings every single day. We're busy with everything else we're doing, but we don't really know how to run them because we've never taken the time to learn.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, then. What's the best way to learn how to run a meeting?
I think it's actually just model the companies that have done it best in the past. You know, my dad, when I was 16, pulled me aside and he said, look, you're never going to be smart enough to figure this out on your own. He said, your R&D has to stand for rip off and duplicate. So he said, go look at the companies that are already doing a great job running meetings or running anything and just do what they're doing. So in the case of meetings, I went out years ago and looked at a number of highly functioning, fast-paced, profitable businesses that had strong cultures, but that used meetings as a way to actually drive the strategic plan and to leverage their team and to help support people in doing their day-to-day roles. And we just kind of dug in to find out what made a very highly functioning meeting. And essentially, I just took the little simple steps that I learned for everybody and packaged it together.
Mm-hmm. Are there organizations that people can look at and sort of emulate based on kind of what you've shared with us?
I think one of the best is less of an organization, and it's actually a book that a guy wrote called Death by Meetings. It's written by a guy named Pat Lencioni. And Pat did a really, really good job at actually pulling together some of the content around this. I mean, I've obviously simplified it in my book, Double Double, and pulled together just in one of the chapters alone on how to run highly effective meetings. So people can kind of take a shortcut and go there. The companies that I looked at that were running high-functioning meetings were companies like Google, UPS, and Goldman Sachs. You know, big businesses that couldn't have the possibility of having lots of red tape, but they didn't allow themselves to get bogged down in it because they decided to actually run more like an entrepreneurial organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I've seen highly functioning organizations that have terrible meetings as well, many which are profitable. I've sat in meetings where the meetings were to discuss other meetings, which often I found to be kind of insane. So, you know, I'm wondering what gets a meeting derailed and what gets you on the path of having a meeting where you're talking about another meeting?
Yeah, I think it's less about what gets a meeting derailed and it's more about why didn't they plan to have the meeting done correctly in the first place. Mm-hmm. Maybe let me walk you through the steps to create a really highly functioning meeting, and then we can kind of work off of that.
Okay.
Every meeting has to have a clear purpose, just the one sentence, why are we here? And then a meeting can have a maximum of three outputs. And there's the three main things that we're going to get done or get achieved in that meeting. Every meeting has to have an agenda, and I allow people to say no agenda, no attenda. You know, if I don't know what we're covering and in what order and how many minutes on each thing, why should I bother saying yes to show up to the meeting in the first place? And I think that's what we notice is we'll end up at these meetings and we're wondering why that we're there, but we should have known why we were going in the first place if somebody booked it with a proper purpose, outcome, and agenda. So that's really the clear starting point would be those three things. Every meeting has to start on time. The problem, we always blame people. We're too busy and people don't care and there's no sanctions. The reality is the reason meetings show up late is because we book all of our meetings back to back. We book them like we book phone calls. Everything is kind of slotted in back to back and we have no buffer time built in. I talk about what buffers do airlines use to make sure that we show up on time for flights. Well, they have the, you know, pre-screening and then they have the doors closing and boarding times. And those are little buffers that they make us kind of jump through. So what I like doing is having every meeting stop 5 minutes prior to the scheduled ending time. So essentially what you have happen is if you've got a meeting that goes from 3:00 until 3:30, you actually finish the meeting at 3:25, allowing everyone to have that built-in 5-minute buffer to stand up, go to the bathroom, talk to their assistant, grab a cup of coffee, walk down the hall, and be sitting down at the next boardroom table exactly a minute or two before the meeting even starts. So you build that buffer in at the back end of every meeting and every phone call and teach everyone to do that. I also book every meeting for 50% of the time that I first think about booking it for. So if I say, let's get together for a day, I'll book it for half a day. Or why don't we talk for 2 hours? I'll book the meeting for an hour instead of for 2 hours. If you compress time, people will end up getting it done in less time because you kind of control the agenda and you stay on topic. And then the last real point is that every meeting has three roles that need to be played. You've got a moderator, a timekeeper, and a parking lot. The moderator makes sure that we stay on agenda and we don't talk about all the other extraneous crap that we tend to get sucked into. The timekeeper makes sure that we stay on point and that we keep to each of the scheduled allotted times throughout the agenda. Even if it's a half-hour agenda, there might be 4 points with 7 minutes on each point. We just stick to that agenda. And then lastly, the parking lot is the person who's just going to keep track of, hey, that was a good idea, but we don't have time to talk about it now. Let's put it on a parking lot so we can talk about it later. And that tends to be the stuff that drives people crazy, is we end up talking about all these things that we shouldn't have been in the first place, or that we're not even sure why we're there.
Yeah, well, you know, I love that you brought up the purpose piece, and I think back to something that Jason Fried at 37 Signal said. He said, you know, don't have a meeting just because it's Monday, which is often why many organizations have meetings, is, oh, it's just because it's Monday. We've been having this Monday meeting forever, and that's the reason we have the meeting. And, you talked about sort of topics that are completely irrelevant. I sat in a meeting where I listened to a marketing team talk about the air conditioner in an office for 30 minutes.
Exactly. I walked by a very similar meeting where people were talking about the Christmas party. We had a VP of IT, someone from HR, someone from operations, and someone from marketing, and they were talking about the Christmas party. I'm like, there's no possible reason that all four of these people should be together, especially with the IT guy, because he's Jewish. Like, this doesn't make any sense. So we have to kind of take back that insanity a little bit and take ownership for the fact that we're setting meetings and setting people up for failure right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So I think if you set it up that way with the purpose, outcomes, agenda, start on time, stop on time, and have the clear roles being played, you give people a fighting chance to actually get the right stuff done. Mm-hmm. And then people will end up saying, you know what, I'm not going to come to this meeting because it doesn't look like, based on the agenda, that I should be there. So you allow people to opt out of meetings and opt into the meetings that they should be at. And I think that's what tends to happen, is we end up with a lot of people there that don't need to be there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something that was interesting, and that was about, you know, having a meeting on a Monday just because we always have. I think we need to set up our meetings and the pulse of meetings, or the rhythm of our meetings, based on what we're trying to get done, not just because we've already done it. So there's a few types of meetings that need to happen all the time. There needs to be the yearly and quarterly retreat where your business area gets off-site and goes off-site for a day or a half a day or 2 days if it's the annual, where you sit down and you plan out the core focus for the organization for the year or for the quarter. You know, what are your revenue, profit, customer, employee, and strategic goals? So that's one meeting that needs to happen, is that quarterly and annual retreat. The second one is you need to have time in your calendar for strategy. And this is strategic thinking, not strategic planning. So you need to have time in your calendar, if you're a high growth company, as much as every week, to have a couple of hours a week where your team is talking about stuff at least 6 months to 12 months out on the calendar. I'm talking about companies growing 100% a year over year. You know, if you're growing more like 7 to 20% a year, you can probably put strategy time in your calendar every month, because you're really not growing at that fast of a rate. But strategy time needs to be in your calendar for meetings to talk about strategic initiatives. Then you need to have a meeting where you're looking at the financials. And you need to, again, decide who are the people, how often, but at minimum once a month, a team should be in place to look at the income statement, the balance sheet, and the cash flow statement on a rolling 12-month basis, where you actually are getting good financial insights into the company and leaving that meeting with very strong tactical things that you need to do to improve the financial health of the organization. Weekly, you want to have a meeting in place where the leadership team needs to talk about the updates. You know, what's going well, what's not going well, where are we moving towards, what are we focusing on, where are we stuck? And it's that pulse of the people sharing with each other, keeping each other on the same page, and helping each other move the organization forward. The other thing that happens at that weekly meeting is you're looking at the dashboard together. You know, you're looking at the key numbers, the key metrics that need to be looked at on a weekly basis. I also tie in the monthly financial meeting, a look at the dashboard where the numbers only need to be looked at on a monthly basis. So just because we measure stuff doesn't mean we need to be looking at it on a daily or weekly basis. Sometimes we only need to look at it monthly or quarterly. Mm-hmm. But you need to have that regular meeting, that regular pulse in your organization. And then I have one final meeting that people are a little bit wigged out at times, but it's a 7-minute all-company stand-up meeting that's held at 11 o'clock in the morning, right at the first point in the day when people's energy drops. And we share good news, missing systems, key frustrations, and we share the key numbers of the business to show people where we're going and how we're moving towards it. And it's that 7-minute pulse, like a huddle on a football team, where you're talking about the plays, you're sharing the information, you're getting people pumped up, and you kind of drive the business forward. That daily pulse is huge in an organization. And if companies like Dell and Goldman Sachs and Bombardier can do it, And surely we can run it in 30 or 50 or 500 person companies as well.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you one question about the corporate retreats piece. You know, one of the things that I saw a lot during my time in the corporate world is, you know, you'd get basically shipped off to paradise, but never be allowed to experience paradise. You might as well have just had the meeting somewhere in your hometown offsite. And I wonder at times if the balance there was off, and I'm really curious to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, the balance is completely off. When leaders sit down and actually don't think about, again, what's the point of why are we getting together for this offsite? Is it to share good, you know, is it to be strategic? Is it to build team? Is it to learn from each other? Is it to move the business forward? Like, why are we getting together? If they stopped and sat down and talked about it for a few minutes, they'd realize that part of the getting together is that team building, is the opportunity to just kind of breathe and relax a little bit. Well, then maybe they would actually build some time in to enjoy the environment. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of getting people off site, but not necessarily to expensive locations. And I'm a huge fan of renting small little cottages, making breakfast and lunches together, and maybe going out for one dinner. But I love when the team actually gets together and cooks together. I love that when we share rooms on the road, you know, mix it up a little bit and force people to share different rooms in a hotel. It's not going to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is you'll build some more kind of camaraderie and have a lot more laughs that come out of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I asked that question is I remember being sent to a meeting in Cancun, Mexico, in this really nice hotel. It was on the beach, and I spent 3 days in a conference room and 3 hours on the beach the entire time I was
right.
there. And I realized, I thought that was a horrible way to run a meeting.
It's completely horrible. You almost need a half-and-half approach where you allow people to take a little bit of time to get off-site, even if it's building some, you know, systems together or doing some strategic thinking together. The reality is just allowing people to breathe and get off and enjoy the environment outside of the boardroom is actually going to move the business forward. You don't need to sit in the boardroom to do it. And if that's what you're going to do, then yeah, don't take people to a great location to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cameron, I have one final question for you. And, you know, we can hear you say all of this. We can listen to it. We can write it down. We can understand it intellectually. But that's an entirely different thing from going out and living it and being it in our day-to-day lives. So how do we cultivate the habit of actually running meetings properly?
That's the, you know, the kind of core idea behind learning itself. And it's the student controls the learning environment. If we're not ready to learn, then we're never going to actually learn. You know, whether we're in a grade six classroom in math or whether we're a CEO running a company right now, we have to trip and fall enough times when all of a sudden we say, this sucks, I don't want to do it this way anymore, and I'm going to make the changes. So I think when the CEOs listen to this and understand that these are changes they want to put in place, they have to allow themselves to say, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to make these changes, and now we're going to move forward. And then they will force the habit. But until they're really ready to do that, it's just going to be just another idea. They're not going to dive in on it. And that's okay. You know, the world needs some average companies too.
Well, Cameron, this has been really interesting, and I've really enjoyed chatting with you about your insights on meetings. Definitely a very, very eye-opening, and I think a lot of very useful stuff in terms of managing time and being more efficient that can be applied even to our personal lives.
Appreciate that.
Well, Cameron, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. This has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage Podcast, and until next time, good luck with your business.